Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Watching her walk away?
Yeah.
I get it. I see what you're saying.
Come on, everybody sing!
Oh, you know that word.
Do. Don't put your blame on you.
You.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. And, of course, happy Saturday to all of you. We've got a full house today, and I love it. And this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
We thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun. We recap our past experience and enlighten your day through laughter.
That's right. Laughing at all the things we experience in everyday life. The embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things that we're afraid to talk about, but we still do.
You know, the things that connects us all. The thing that makes us human. And they say laughter is the best medicine.
That's right. To all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are part of the show and join in the conversation. You can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1 at gmail.com.
Well, today's show, we've got a busy show for you guys today. We'll be talking about a couple of different things. We'll be catching up, of course, but we have our dear friend, Professor Andrew Fracknoy, coming in at 10:30, talking about tomorrow's lunar eclipse and a certain black hole that's happening. And, of course, we got Oz in the room with sports at 10:45. Hey, Oz, how you doing?
I'm okay. Lots of blame to go around this
Absolutely.
Week.
And then we got chicken dance facts. We got an archer contest going on. And, of course, what's news? And today I have guest host Brown Waters in the room. Yeah, do it all for us. And I love it all.
You can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate us and review the show.
That's right. Today's theme song, of course, is Blame It on the Rain, because it is National Blame Somebody Else Day. So that's what we're doing. We're blaming it on the rain today. Blaming it on those things that drift off at night, or whatever he says in the song. I don't remember the lyrics, but that's okay. Of course, the one I always
Something about walking away.
Yeah. Of course, the one I always like is Blame It on the Drain.
Yeah.
By Weird Al. Gotta love that one.
Not that you clogged it?
Well, once in a blue moon. Once in a blue moon, you know. I throw a log, you know, down there and kind of go, hey.
Blame it on the drain.
Wow, it came back up, you know, and leave it at that and kind of go, honey, take a picture of it.
Water came back.
So, alrighty. And, of course, any of the songs that we play on our website, remember, guys, that you can always go to our main sponsor and purchase the songs there, which is Amazon.com. All you have to do is go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner and bookmark it, and shop to your heart's delight. Find anything you want on Amazon, everything from ink printer to parts for your drum set if you need it, to a new bra, to a new hairdo, to whatever you need. I just love it the way you just looked at me, Casey, like, oh, really? Oh, I didn't know you could find that.
I know, it's just like, I'm not even wearing a bra.
Oh, my.
I never
so
do.
What's the weather like?
It's warm and kind of squishy.
Kind of warm and squishy, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. All right, that's what I figured.
I support this lack of support.
Anyway, guys, just go to, again, once again, go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, bookmark it, and shop, 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 shop till you can't shop anymore, and then come back and do it all over again the next day. So, simple as that. Alrighty, we want to hit something really quick, and of course, this is something that I take very seriously on it. We've lost a few celebrities this past week and everything, but one that stands out the most is the passing of singer Naomi Judd. If you're not familiar with her, she was a very famous country singer. She was half of the duo of the Judds with her daughter, Winona. And she passed away recently. She was suffering from some type of mental illness. Exactly what, I don't know. But from my understanding, it's something that kind of really overtook her mind completely, where it could be just regular depression, where she didn't feel she was worthy enough. She didn't feel loved by other people, which is amazing, knowing what she did in her career and how many people she made happy doing through her music overall. And it's now been revealed that Naomi has had that mental illness for some time, and she decided to take her own life. With a gun. This one hits home because this show itself is all about laughter and how laughter does heal. And I don't know if Naomi had that in her life. The biggest thing is, please, if you have any indications of being depressed, any indications of wanting to end your life, go find somebody, talk to somebody, call the National Suicide Hotline. This is something that's happening more and more often, and you know, it's just one of those things that even through the pandemic, which we are still in technically, but when we were all really locked down, a lot of us kind of went stir crazy. And I've suffered from depression myself. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to go down that dark rabbit hole and stand on that chair with a rope in my hand. And I went out and I got a therapist who helped me tremendously. Please make sure that if you have any indications, again, that you call somebody. If not, at least call the National Hotline. It is 800-273-8255. Again, 1-800-273-8255. Even if you feel that somebody is dealing with it and you know somebody, call them. Get in touch. Go check on them. And depression can happen in any given time. It can happen for different reasons. I've seen people where they've lost a loved one just through natural causes, and they go into their own depression and everything. Whether it be a spouse, a mother, a father, a brother, it doesn't matter. So please, please make sure that you do that. It's so important. And that's one thing, too, that we take very seriously on this show is our mental health. And that's why we're here to entertain you every week, is to help you forget about that rough week that maybe you had. And just get out and listen to our show for an hour and a half to 2 hours or whatever, however long we do the show. And laugh your butt off and the stupid things, silly things that we do. And if we're entertaining and make you giggle at least a little bit, then I know we've done our jobs overall. So this is a tough one for the Nashville community. It's a tough one for the music community. Please, just again, go seek help if you feel you are going down to that dark place. It's really important. I can't say it enough times on it. Because as we say in our opening monologue here, laughter is the best medicine. Go out, laugh, find a comedy movie, do whatever it is to laugh. And when you laugh, laugh wholeheartedly. And when you do, I guarantee you that you will feel much, much better right after that. All right? Okay. That's over. That's done with. May she rest in peace, and may she not be in pain any longer. Naomi Judd. And thank you for the music that you've given us. Thank you for that, Casey. Appreciate it. All right. Let's laugh for the rest of the show now, please. That's what we're all here about. So let's go ahead and catch up with each other. Well, since we have our guest co-host, Brown Waters, and Brown, why don't you go ahead and go first, buddy? How you were actually here a couple of weeks ago with the show, kind of sitting in to figure out what things were like. So, how have you been the last couple of weeks?
Well, I requested that song by Naomi Judd, that grandpa song, because...
Oh, no.
I'm a new young grandpa at the time, you know.
Wait a minute. How? You can't be a grandpa. I'm older than you.
Yeah, it's true, you know.
Well, how old are you?
I got good genes. That's
you got great genes, dude.
Breeder.
Can I get a breeder? Can I get a transfusion from you, brother?
It's my melanin.
I'm not even halfway to you, and I need more melon, though.
Get in there, go to Laughlin, and just sit beside.
Oh, that's true.
There you go.
Oh, you're gonna turn red. There ain't
no long term sun for me.
Yeah, there ain't no brown for you.
No.
Really? How old are you though?
I'm 35.
And you're a grandfather.
And I'm a grandfather. Yeah, have a new grandson, CJ. Call him Junior. I don't know his real name all the way yet. Because I'm working on the forgetting stuff like a grandpa.
Oh, no. It's starting early.
I'm trying to get all the grandpa jeans. You know,
wait a minute.
I bought some suspenders.
Here we go. You want some reading glasses?
Got my reading glasses. Yeah,
there you go.
I got one for every outfit I wear. I got some reading glasses.
Perfect.
So, yeah,
just gotta pimp it out. You know,
I'm going to be a fly grandpa.
Be a player grandpa is what you can be.
Got my Stacey Adams.
Like, what was that movie, Dirty Grandpa or something like
Dirty
that?
Grandpa.
Yeah.
I'm working on the young grandpa. Right. That's my new.
All right. So, son or daughter or?
My daughter, you know, living life, and she's living.
Life.
So, yeah. Wow. You know, it's a tough subject, but, you know, live, laugh, and love. You right?
That's what you got to. You know,
not strangle. You can't.
What's done
gonna
is make done.
An you orphan. Can't strangle.
Yeah, then you're gonna have an orphan. You're gonna take care of the baby, like so.
Yeah. Exactly. No, dude, it's tough. I mean, you know, how old is she?
14.
Oh, that's tough.
I should have said it in Spanish. So.
Yeah. Uno y cuatro.
Catorce.
Wow, that's tough.
Yeah, it's the new generations, though. You know, they
I don't know, dude. This ain't Pepsi, but, you know.
Elon Musk said we was our population was decreasing, so, you know, we was in trouble.
We're starting early.
I was like, hey, daughter, you better.
Fling leg.
Get with it.
Take it one
with
for the team. Times.
Yeah, fling leg. Wow. So 34, grandpa.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, she's got a long road ahead.
Yeah, you know, but I'm going to be there for her. You know, we can.
Yeah. That happened to a cousin of mine, too. She had her daughter, I think, about at 16 or 17. And, you know, what's done is done. It was a little bit disappointing, of course, you know, because, you know, traditionally we want to see our kids grow up and do, you know, go through college, go through school and get college done and stuff and what have you, and then move on with life, you know. And so, yeah, it's tough when you have a kid at that age, you know, or under 18. It's tough.
It reminded me of Apocalypto. You ever seen Apocalypto?
Oh, jeez.
You know,
that's quite a...
they encourage them to, you know, younger, can start it up, make the population bigger, right. Better wars and stuff. Right. So.
Better wars.
Actually, you're kind of in a sweet spot as a grandfather, because this is one of the things I realized. I had my son very young. I was about 22 when he was born, and I had my daughters when I was, you know, in my late 30s, early 40s.
Oh, wow.
And so what I figured out was that, look, the problem with having them when you're young is you got no wisdom, right?
Yeah.
When you're old, you got no energy.
Yeah.
So you're kind of, because you got enough for both as a grandfather.
Yeah.
You got enough as a grandfather. So there you go. You're actually in kind of a sweet spot.
Because I'd be like, you know what? Just go.
Yeah, but see, again, you get to give them back. That's always the advantage of the grandparents.
That's true.
That's why people love being grandparents. They get their fill, they get their jollies, and then they give the kids back.
There you go. Full
of sugar. With a lot of sugar.
You clean them.
Yeah.
That's it. So you're in kind of a sweet spot.
Hey.
Yeah, at least you got the energy to still be your grandpa.
Right? Yeah.
You know, so go, wait up, don't forget.
And you will be the coolest grandfather.
And he can play with his 1-year-old older uncle, too.
So. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I love those situations.
Wow.
Hey, Uncle Bill.
Watch your nephew.
He's in the next class. He's in the next class up.
Wow.
Love it.
That is just, wow.
That's so funny.
That sounds like a Latino family all over again.
And they are.
Yeah.
And they are.
I think that's how we can relate to each other, you know, with both of our ethnic backgrounds and everything. It's
there
like,
we go.
You know.
And that's what it's all about, relatability.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, hello, everybody in Indiana. So,
Indiana.
Surprise. Well, congratulations overall.
Thank you.
You know, it is, you know, a good thing. Be supportive. I think that's the best thing, of course.
Many
you know,
blessings.
Be there for her. You know, and when she goes, Daddy, I don't know. Yeah, you do. Here's the book. Read.
You know? YouTube, TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
Figure it out.
There you go.
Something we didn't have.
Yeah.
You can figure. Look it up.
Yeah. And when it changes colors, you know, when it comes out in the bottom, that's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know what my wife fed my son at times, but it was like green and orange and purple and blue and I don't know what.
Blue?
And I went, what the hell did you eat?
Well, when my baby put on a bib, I put on a bib too. So,
so it's like, are you eating from the same jar?
Sometimes.
Hey, this ain't bad. This is pretty good.
Applesauce.
There you go.
Pork chops and applesauce.
See?
Oh my God. That's awesome, bro. Oh, good. Well, yeah, congratulations, though. It is nice to be a grandparent. Just like going, just didn't want it now, but. That's okay with it, and we'll do it, and we'll support, and that's what the thing is, and give that thing plenty of love.
That's all it can do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oz, how was your week, brother?
Well, not as eventful as that. I did, after a protracted labor, I did give birth to episode 2 of Orville Mulligan's Sports Writer,
the
audio drama podcast. That was fun. So in my time here, I'd like to pimp a TV show that I just started watching because it just started up. That everybody should go out and watch.
Quantum Leap.
Close.
Oh, okay.
Close.
That's my favorite show.
Since we gave so much time to frickin' Star Wars last week, let me please tell you about the new Star Trek series,
Yay.
Strange New Worlds.
I'm so
this
excited.
Is the stuff. This, the latest Star Trek series of the teens and the 20s. Haven't been much loved by fans or non-fans, to be honest.
Now, are you talking about like Deep Space Nine?
No. I think in the 90s.
That's
this was
super borderline.
Deep Space Nine?
Okay, she just gave me a
look.
That was a vicious look.
Super borderline.
Vicious. That was like, dude, you better
Most
take that
things
back.
Beyond
See,
Voyager
See,
have just been cast out.
The thing about Star Trek is you have the 60s and you have the original series.
Right.
Then you have the 80s and the movies. And then you have the...
Which was a continuation of...
Yes, mm-hmm. Right. And really, I always point this out too. Star Trek is the only franchise that's like that. It's the only franchise
like
where the
what?
Movies actually carried on from the TV series. It's the only one. You can't think of another one that's not a reboot. It's not a remake. It's not something else. It's the only one where the storyline continued. And then they were actually able to bring it back onto TV in the 90s. And this was really what most fans consider the high point.
You're talking about the Next Generation.
Yeah, the Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, which were all very popular, very successful. Yeah, Voyager is easy.
First off, Voyager is straight posing. Has anyone in this room watched Voyager?
No. Oh, yeah, several
times. The opening scene of Voyager is exactly the same as Star Wars. As the third movie, which is the first one that's originally released.
Voyager is a flawed TV show, but a lot of people like it.
You triggered a nerve.
In any case.
She just went into producer mode.
Oh, right, Bane popped out and everything.
Oh, my God.
She is on a mission,
Super figures.
Gee. I knew Casey was a Star Trek fan, but I didn't know she was going to blow it out of the water like this. So this is great. Okay. I'm glad we're getting equal
So,
time.
Casey, you're saying that the Star Trek Voyager, the opening to that is the same as Star Wars?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes, and all the way from the beginning of the credits that start Voyager, scroll from the bottom in black and white screen.
Yeah.
But does it go in an angle? Because that's the Star Wars opening credit thing. It goes at an angle. Most credits do come up from the bottom and go up. Yeah. So to me, that's nothing new.
Yeah, it's like a trapezoid shape.
A trapezoid shape.
Yeah, the Star Wars credits end up in the
Which is one thing I love about Spaceballs, because at the very end of their credits, it says, if you can read this, you don't need any glasses.
Spaceballs is amazing. That's such a funny movie.
So
I watched that for 2 weeks straight with a substitute teacher in English class.
Spaceballs?
Yes.
Really?
Every day. She was like, I'm not dealing with these kids. She just put on Spaceballs and let us do what we do.
That's so funny.
For 2 weeks straight.
That's awesome, though.
Did she know it wasn't a series? That it was actually just like one movie that she was showing you over and over?
She said, don't bother me. All right,
well, Casey's looking that up. I'll go.
Fair enough. Honestly, high school students, man, those subs. Oh, bless their hearts.
Here we are.
It's not at the angle, though. So.
Yeah, but it's not at an angle.
Yeah.
That's not the Star Wars
it's
crawl.
It's completely different, Casey. Completely different.
But oh, yeah, this is so different.
John Williams.
And the words are white.
Yeah.
That does look like Star Wars.
That literally looks like Star Wars. Yeah.
Okay, that part looks like the opening of episode 4.
A fuel line has ruptured, attempting to compensate.
Oh, it tripped out on
Okay, now she's pissed off, too, because her veins are popping out her forehead.
Excuse you.
I can't get any more
Excuse
out of
you.
That's an armored plate.
Am I supposed to be creative with
Oh, that's a armored plate?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's her skull, but...
Oh, it's her skull. Okay.
This is Gully Vec of the Cardassian Fourth Order.
Oh, he's Cardassian.
Great.
That
makes
sense.
That's all we need is another show with the fucking Kardashians on.
That's why I didn't knock off right there.
No wonder I didn't watch it. That's all we need. Freaking Kardashian.
He needs more power and creativity.
In any case.
Okay, so with the ships chasing each other, but did it open like that every single time?
No. That's
did
just
Star Wars
one.
Open like that every single
that's
time?
That's season 1.
Just about. with their word crawl, it did.
They were all of a sudden like, damn, we apparently need more battle scenes.
But see, also, too, though, Star Wars always began with, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And then it went to the music and then the crawl.
Yeah, see, in Star Trek, it's Stardate.
Do you remember when we were 4, 7, 9, 5, 8, you said 5. It's not about semantics?
Hey, he even said it's in different colors. Brown even said it's in different colors.
I was just going with the obvious.
In any case, the new series is really, really good.
Yes,
Strange New Worlds.
I would agree.
Okay, awesome.
Great. Episodic, great special effects, not derivative. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Really good. Good for non-fans, too.
Awesome.
Hi. I saw you point to me.
Yes, Nia, how was your week?
It was good, yeah. Last weekend, while I wasn't here, I went to surprise my mom and my grandma. got some happy tears from them for Mother's Day.
Nice.
They didn't know I was coming.
Wow.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah. And then...
Surprise mom.
Yeah. Surprise mom. Hi.
Feed me.
Fair enough. I did come with like zero... I came with like my suitcase of laundry.
Wow. Oh, a classic.
I was like, but I did my own laundry. I was like, as long as the... You know, I'm not going to make my mom do my laundry.
The point of going home?
For that,
to use the machine.
A free laundry machine. Right. That's the point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She saved $1.25. That's what it was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it 75 cents for the watch and another, you know, 50 cents for the drying?
Plane ticket, $2.29 plus tax.
Yeah. That's a bargain. That's
free washing machine? Priceless. It's one of those.
I get to say I'm a mom. Yeah, and then also, the semester has 2 weeks left at my college, so it is, my life is work, homework, 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 homework. And, yeah, so I've been really busy. And then also just, like, final projects for some student films that I was a part of, either acting or producing, and sometimes writing. And so really busy with that, too. So it's just, you know, crazy. Yeah. Really sad that my theater class is ending, because I really loved that class and loved
Well, you can always take it over again.
I technically could, but then it's just kind of like backtracking.
But at least you'll know you get another A.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be taking another class with that professor for sure. But it was just like, I really love the community and the people in our class. And some of those people have become like some of my close friends. And so I'm really, yeah.
Awesome.
I'm appreciative of that experience.
All right. And Casey, how was your week?
Pretty good. I had 2 days off this week where I didn't really have a whole lot planned. And so I like burrowed away inside my RV and organized a bunch and did some deep cleaning. And
It is springtime.
I hung up some photos that I'd been procrastinating on for quite some time.
Wait, since you held up some photos?
No, I hung them up.
Oh, hung them up. I'm sorry. Okay. I thought you said held them. I'm like,
no, no. I finally got around to putting some command strips up. And
look at you go, like, man.
Yeah, it was nice.
Cool. So decorating the RV then.
Right, yeah. What do they call it? Nesting. Getting everything.
Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait, wait. Grandfather nesting, what's going on here?
Nothing.
Okay. How's Mateo?
Well, much better. Yeah, his stomach flu has passed. He's back to work.
Oh, he got over that?
Man, it was around. He was down for like a week.
Did you heard about it over there? Okay.
What?
This it was monumental. Like everybody in Orange County knows about this.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking about it on the air for two weekends because he was sick for like a week, so it spanned like 2 weekends because it came on the weekend. It lasted through the next weekend.
Almost like two and a half.
It was about, awful. Yeah.
Jeez.
He's better now.
Yeah. He was really inconvenient.
He's really inconvenient now. Mateo, this is how much we love you, that you're now, before when you were sick, you were convenient. Now you're inconvenient.
No, prior, reverse. Okay. He's very self-sufficient on his own. Like a cat in that manner, you know? You just have to change the litter every now and again and put some food and water out.
Send your letters to. Such a loving relationship.
Yeah.
You know, if he ever came out in public and actually got to introduce himself to people, then maybe he would actually get to let them know his own personality. But until then, I get to keep creating it.
The way she looked at her paper and the way as if she was currently writing it. She's like, this is the character I'm creating.
Yeah. You are. Yeah. Oh, my. Okay, well, I'm glad he's better. And
Much better.
I'm glad you're creating him to be better. So that's a good thing, you know. I love it. Well, my week was kind of a little bit slow. We had band rehearsal on Monday, but I got to work on my trains a little bit. I finally added the extra. What's I'm going for? Well, I have it's a 4x8 sheet, but I needed to actually add an extra 4 inches on 3 of the sides.
Ooh, that's what she said.
So.
Beat me to it.
They call me cake. So I had to do that on 3 of the sides, and so that kind of got all glued together. And it was an interesting time when I went to Home Depot, though, to go get the pieces of wood cut that I needed, because what I wanted to do is underneath was put 3 pieces in so it helps support what I'm gluing in on the sides. And apparently, you have to go in, I guess, at certain times to Home Depot and find the smart people.
Yeah. Mm. it's a window, like 12 to 3.
I did not know.
Nice.
I did not know because I went before 11
o'clock. Thank you, Grandpa. Thank you.
He's a grandpa. He's wiser now.
It's all the wisdom.
Yeah.
For real.
I didn't know because when the guy was cutting the wood, because I had to buy a 4x8 sheet, But then I had it cut a certain way so it would overlap what I needed to fit underneath. Well, on the second cut, how did I describe this? He was cutting it horizontally, and right at the end of the cut, the wood kind of fell on the saw. And it flung out about maybe, well, let's put it this way. I'm glad that the forklift was there to stop it. Because anybody walking by
would have been rich.
Would, oh, yeah. Yeah.
They would have been for a couple of years of litigation.
Lottery, you know.
I don't think that would have taken a couple of years. They might have wanted to keep that one
quiet.
So,
yeah, right.
That would have been hush-hush real
and
fast.
I kind of like the way the kid looked at me as if, do you know what just happened?
That's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, he goes, whoops. Oh, it was a big whoops. I've never seen a piece of wood fly out from a saw like that so quickly. Nice. You know, I mean, it was like a Star Trek ship doing
warp 3.
Warp 5, you know. Yeah, and like I said, if that if that forklift was not there, you know, and it traveled like a good 15 feet before it hit the forklift too.
Ooh.
Wow.
But it would have hit somebody else or whatever walking. I was like very surprised. So now I know 12 to what, 3?
12 to 3.
12 to 3. I need to go where the smart people know how to cut the wood there for Home Depot.
And usually an older man. Like, he has to be older and kind
of. Yeah, you got to.
He's got to be older.
Yeah.
You got to have that pinky. You know, the crooked pinky?
That's
if
crooked
got
pinky.
The crooked pinky. You know what I'm talking about? The crooked. Yeah. If he don't got the crooked pinky, then he's not going to do
it. Now, what about if the pinky's cut off?
Oh, then he's really good.
Okay, all right, yeah.
He's learned his lesson.
Yeah, he's learned his lesson. He knows what a circular saw can do.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that makes a whole lot of sense. So that was my week and everything, and then got to work on the train a little bit and so forth and get some parts and stuff. So, but it's all good. Well, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, though, but tomorrow there is supposedly a lunar eclipse going on.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be something special, like a blood eclipse or a flower blood eclipse or something, whatever. So on the phone right now, we have our dear friend, Professor Andrew Fracknoy. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. It is so good to hear your voice again. How have you been?
Well, in a crazy world, as well as can be expected.
Wow, that's good. Well, you know, I was trying to find another picture of you to promote that you were going to be on the show today. Did you know you had your own Wikipedia page?
I do. I know that there's a group of women called Guerrilla Skeptics who go around the Wikipedia and put up pages about scientists who have been skeptical of things like UFOs and so on. And so the Guerrilla Skeptics put up a Wikipedia page for me, yes.
And it looks wonderful. It looks really, really good. So, well, again, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, Professor. Tell us about this lunar eclipse that's going to happen tomorrow.
Well, so every once in a while, the Earth gets between the moon and the sun. And so the moon then gets into the Earth's shadow. The Earth casts a shadow on the moon. And this always happens when there's a full moon. So the full moon goes dark. And that's what's going to happen Sunday evening. Tomorrow evening, the moon is going to enter the Earth's shadow. It will get darker and darker and then completely dark. And at that moment, the Earth's atmosphere acts like a lens and bends light from the sun through the atmosphere with different colors bending different amounts. And the red colors win. And so essentially the moon will turn a kind of dark red, not completely dark, but a dark red with this extra refracted color. And so that's what people are now calling the blood moon, because it's sort of blood colored.
Got it.
Has nothing to do with blood, but it will be a lovely sight. And it happens, during the evening hours, and depending on what time zone you're on, you'll be able to see it and still get to work the next day.
Wonderful. Now, here in Southern California, will we be able to see the eclipse?
I'm sorry, you're where?
Will we be able to see it here in Southern California?
Southern California, yes. Oh, absolutely. Southern California turns out to have the best and most advantaged view of everybody in the United States.
Oh, wow.
Because it happens early in the evening, and it'll be over by about 11. Mm. So kids can see it, older folks can see it, and then everybody can go get a good night's sleep. In the eastern part of the United States, you'd have to stay up till 2 a.m. to see the complete cycle of the eclipse. So the Pacific time zone does very well. Let me give you the key times.
Okay.
So the sun will set Sunday night, tomorrow night, at about 8:10. And then right around that time when the sun is setting in the west, the moon is rising in the east around the same time. And the moon will be rising with part of it already in shadow. So instead of seeing the full moon, you'll see kind of a partial moon with a dark shadow on it. And around 8:30, the total eclipse begins. So the moon will become, quote, red and dark. Mm-hmm. And that total eclipse lasts until 9:54. So from 8:30 to 9:54, you have an hour and 24 minutes to enjoy the red, dark, what's called the blood moon. Now, that's important because many of us have something in the way when we try to look toward the southeast. So there might be a hill or buildings or trees in the way, and we might not be able to catch the moon when it's rising on the southeastern horizon. We may need to wait a half hour or even 45 minutes before the moon rises high enough for us to be able to see it from our vantage point. And so there's nothing to worry about if you catch it by 8:30 or even 9:00. By which time the moon will be higher, you'll still be able to see the blood moon until 9:54 p.m. And then the moon will get out of the Earth's shadow slowly. And so the partial eclipse ends at 10:56 p.m. Okay. So really a good time to start watching it would be around 9 p.m. And then if you can wait till 10 p.m., you'll see the moon moving out of the Earth's shadow and get a full sense of the eclipse.
Awesome, awesome, wonderful. Now, another thing I want to ask you about, I saw an article the other day regarding a black hole and saying that it's helping create planets. How is this possible, or what's going on there?
Well, not so much planets as stars, but yes. So let's tell our listeners what we're talking about. A black hole is usually thought of as a place where things go in. They don't come out. A black hole is a place where a star at the end of its life has collapsed so drastically, has almost, in a sense, imploded, which is the opposite of explode. Mm-hmm. It's fallen in, and gravity has become so strong that nothing, not even light, can escape. And if something is so powerful that nothing can escape, light won't escape from it, so it'll be a black color. And if you throw a teddy bear in, you'll never see it again.
Aww.
So we'll call this kind of object a black hole, a place where things disappear. So black holes can grow as they eat things. They might eat a neighboring star or a cloud of gas and dust or a Romulan spaceship or whatever is out there near them. And so black holes can grow. And in the crowded centers of galaxies, black holes have grown quite a bit. So just this week, the Event Horizon Telescope team announced that they had taken a picture of the black hole at the center of our Milky Way galaxy, which contains as much material as 4 million suns.
Wow.
So think about that. A single black hole that has eaten the equivalent of 4 million suns. And that's not even among the biggest black holes. So getting back finally to your question, what you read about was a situation in which a black hole was disturbing a neighborhood full of raw material. So the black hole had formed. It's swirling, it's whirling around because all black holes whirl. And so it's disturbing the neighborhood. And as it disturbs the neighborhood, it swallows some material, but some material doesn't quite fit and gets spit out in these big jets. So not from the black hole itself. Nothing can escape the black hole. Right. But from the swirling material around the black hole, some material can be directed outward into these big jets. And when these jets collide with other material, the other material gets kind of compacted, compressed, if I can use the term, squozen. And when material gets squozen like that, it makes new stars. So it's the jet from this black hole that's forming new stars in the galaxy that you were reading about.
Very cool. That's very cool. And it actually, it almost sounds like an uncle of mine when I take him to a buffet. You know, there's certain things that fit into his mouth and other things that come back out. And you know,
I'm having a little trouble understanding you. There's quite a bit of echo.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you move the microphone so I can hear you a little
bit? Is this a little bit better?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, and there was another thing that I had looked at, too, where I guess... I believe it was on one of Jupiter's moons. They were possibly discovering water underneath the surface.
Actually, this is one of Saturn's moons.
Oh, Saturn's moons. Okay,
Saturn's moons. But Jupiter also fits this category. So you're on target.
Ooh.
So it turns out that the outer solar system, where Jupiter and Saturn are, the planets are made mostly of gas and liquid. If you were to try to land on Jupiter or land on Saturn, you wouldn't. Right. You just sink in and in and in and in. It's like a giant ocean planet. Wow. Surrounding them are moons made of a whole variety of things, but quite a bit of ice as well as rock in the moons of Jupiter and Saturn. Now, much of the ice that we see there is water ice. And so one of the things that has most surprised us about exploring the environment of Jupiter and the environment of Saturn is that on these icy moons, under the icy covering, it appears that some of the water ice has melted and made an underground ocean. And we see an underground ocean on at least two of the moons of Jupiter, and definitely on one of the moons of Saturn called Enceladus. And now the latest result is that there's a really much smaller moon, only about 120 miles across, called Mimas, M-I-M-A-S. It's a favorite moon to show pictures of because just by coincidence, the images that we got back from our spacecraft absolutely resemble the Death Star in Star Wars. So there's a giant crater that looks like that big round thing in the Death Star. And so astronomers have started to call Mimas the Death Star moon. And it looked like it was a very boring moon, which is, you know, didn't have any interesting characteristics. Recent studies revealed that there was a kind of vibration going on that we could read with our instruments that actually showed that they might be sloshing around inside, which again implies that underneath the surface, there might be a liquid underground ocean. Now, that's a much more iffy thing for Mimas than it is for the other three moons that I was talking about. But still, it goes to show that there are surprises still in store for us as we explore the moons of the outer solar system.
Absolutely. And, Professor, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you on and explain these things to us and break it down so we can always understand it.
Thank you. May I just mention for your listeners that if they want more information about the eclipse, there's something on my website. If you go to my website, which is fracknoi.com, F-R-A-K-N-O-I, fracknoi.com. For some reason, that domain was not in great demand, so I was able to get it. fracknoi.com. I have a blog that's the first thing you come to when you look at the menu of the website. And on that blog, there's both a nice article about this black hole that was just pictured, and then the blog entry before that is the eclipse entry, and that one you can get to a page that gives you all the times for every time zone in the United States. So check out the blog at fracknoi.com. You can even sign up to get occasional blog entries from me whenever there's something new and sexy in astronomy.
Awesome. And also, please keep posting on the Mark and Brian 25 anniversary page or 25 year page, because I know when you do that, there's a lot of huge response because people there still love you and remember you from that show. And of course, we love you here as well.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure talking with you.
All right, Professor Dr. Fractal, take care of yourself. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Sexy in astrology. Sexy.
He is so cool. I love. This is the guy that you wanted to take. People would line up to take his class.
Oh, wow.
Because he was so cool on how he explained certain things, you know, and just a fun guy overall. Very, very fun guy. And he always felt that no question was a stupid question, you know, and he'd break it down so you could understand it, you know.
He must be Where married to teach? Miss Frizzle.
<For real?
laughs> And riding the magic bus.
Yes. And there you go. There you go.
Where did he teach?
But cool, that moon does look like it. Wow, that's pretty neat. So he's up somewhere up in San Francisco, up in Northern California.
Yeah,
one of the community colleges up there. So.
Oh, nice.
It is my belief that there is no class of people that enjoys their work more than astronomers. I remember my class in University of New Mexico. I took 101 my first semester. It was Tuesdays and Thursdays starting at like 8 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go in there and I'd walk out going, wow, why do I need to attend any of my other classes? You know, because every day it would be about expansion of the universe or galaxy clusters. My teacher, Dr. Stephen Gregory, is the guy that theorized galaxy clusters.
Oh, wow.
Which are these massive conglomerations of millions of galaxies. And what's really mind-blowing about that is between these things are these spaces just as big that are empty.
Yeah.
You know, it's just mind-blowing. And I mean, stuff like that, you know, I'd go in every day and just get my mind blown, and it's just like every other class seemed pointless.
To me there's so many subjects also that I can relate to. Like I love astronomy, I love oceanography. To me it's the
sure
same
yeah
way. Go out there yeah, and just get lost in that whole thing. Yeah. So you know what I really get a kick out of though? Sports.
Hey, me too.
You like that segue? That's a good segue, yeah.
Yeah, we got a kick out of it at the Kentucky Derby. We got our butts kicked.
Well, come on, Seabiscuit!
Seabiscuit.
Dude.
Seabiscuit probably would have done better than our picks, and that horse has been dead for 60 years.
We got to recap this because this was an amazing Kentucky Derby.
Yep.
What was the name of the horse? Something Rich or?
It was Rich Strike.
Rich Strike.
Mm-hmm.
Started off almost dead last.
Yep.
The odds were 80-1 on this whole thing.
Second biggest underdog of all time ever to win the Kentucky Derby.
And the son of a bitch comes in to win it. Yep. And I mean, I noticed that he started his climb after the first turn. He kind of got a little bit towards the middle, but you didn't think anything of it. By the last turn, boy, he must have drank some Nitro or Monster or something because he just piled it on and really came through out of almost nowhere.
Well, yeah, it was this nice situation, and this happens sometimes in horse racing where coming down the home stretch, you know, there was a neck and neck for first and second, but there was this big old gap.
Right.
And, you know, Red Strike just struck. He just hit that gap, and it was wide open. It was like in football when you got the open field.
Right.
You know, that's all he had to do is just go for that finish line, and that's what he did. The other two horses are, like, you know, distracted by each other. He mm-hmm. just, like, hit the hole and just, you know, won the race, but our picks did really badly.
Oh, boy, did they.
I got to say.
Mine started off fairly well. He was in the first five, mm-hmm. and I figured, okay, he's probably going to stay there maybe all the way through. He may come in third, maybe fourth. Or whatever. Oh, no, that son of a bitch came in last.
Yeah. No.
Just
her
about.
Son of a bitch came in last.
Oh, so you win.
To be honest. Okay, so we ended up picking.
There's a reason I don't gamble.
Us and the magic eight ball, crystal ball. Ended up picking four of these horses, and there was 20 horses running, and our best finished 14th.
Wow.
Yeah, so this was our co-host. Our co-host picked Happy Jack. Now, right at the beginning of the race, there's like, hey, and here goes the horses going into the boxes, and whoa, looks like somebody's stirring up trouble. And I was like, oh my God, which one of them is it? And sure enough, it's Happy Jack. And I'm like, okay, he's not going to win. I just threw that ticket away.
Uh-huh.
What is that? What does that mean?
It's just kind of like jittery and just kind of like nudging the other horses and whatnot. You know, just kind of messing around.
Unfocused,
you know?
Unfocused.
Yeah, yeah. Just like want to jump around, play around. Yeah. And
stuff. Aww.
And then so they're in the box. They're in the box and they're literally
go,
like
horsey.
1 second away from starting. And then like, oh, they're stopping the race. And then Happy Jack backs out. They're like walking him around a little bit more. So yeah, I knew he wasn't going to win. Sure enough, he came in 14th. You know, your horse,
mine came in way behind.
Yeah, we were in the bottom. Messier, who I think the crystal ball advised me on, this was terrible. He finished 15th. I thought he was in like the top four at some point, but I may have been deluded. But then let's talk about Summers Tomorrow. This was Casey's pick, and this was the biggest horse I think in the race, definitely the prettiest horse, very nice looking horse. It was winning like halfway through, 3/8 of a mile. And literally, I got the text to Casey, all caps, "Summer is tomorrow!" !! Right? And I'm ready to send it. I'm like, nah, I better wait. Sure enough, zoom. And then this sucker finished in last place. It must have had a flashback to Dubai. Because I told you about this horse last week.
That's
it
right.
Never
yeah.
raced outside of Dubai. And I think it saw all the trees and the greenery and the people not wearing like the full turban and whatever, the full outfit. And it just said, where am I?
Right.
And it came in last place. So
it was looking around.
We suck.
It was being a tourist.
We suck. Yeah, nice. Exactly.
So now,
where am I? What am I doing?
So now this horse that won the Kentucky Derby, was it Strike Rich or Rich Strike?
Red Strike.
Okay.
Or Rich Strike.
Rich Strike. Where does he go now on to this? Because this is also the beginning of the Triple Crown, right? Okay, so what's the next horse race?
Oh, well, I mean, you get an automatic invite to the next one, which I want to say is the Preakness.
Okay.
Is the next one. You automatically get an invite to that. But, I mean, you know, these are racehorses, so the career at this top level is a year.
Right.
That's it. I mean, these are 2-3-year-olds. Sometimes you go 2 years.
Okay, seeing his performance in the Kentucky Derby, how do you think he will do in the next race?
Well, it's so hard to tell because, you know, again, like the field just opened up. I mean, he got an opportunity, and he hit it. We'll see. And the other thing that characterized this race is there was a lot of faders. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of horses that were in it early, like your horse, like Messier, that were in it early. They're right there. And Casey's horse, in it right there at the beginning.
And
just, faded. So hard to tell. Hard to tell. But, I mean, he's definitely not going to go off at 80-1.
Right, not anymore. Not anymore.
Not in this next race. So it'll be fine. I mean, it's now there's a narrative, you know, because that was the thing about this competition is that there was no real outstanding horse. There was no real
but
outstanding.
Can you imagine, though, if you even put $100 down on that?
Yeah, it makes me. Makes me sick.
God.
Makes me sick. Gambling is wicked. Especially when you lose.
All right, what else have we got?
Any baseball fans in the house?
I don't know.
The Cincinnati Reds are on pace to become maybe the worst team of all time. Which is very interesting. Very interesting things happened. They started 2-2. Okay, so they split their first four games. Then they went on a 1-19 run. And bottomed out at 6-24. That's one win in 5. And that would have gotten them a final record of 32-130.
So needless to say, we're not going to see them in the playoffs.
No.
Okay.
They've got three guys hitting under 200. Joey Votto, their real only star at this point, is hitting 122. Which would be the lowest of any average by far of any starter all time. They're hitting .221 as a team. The ERA is .626. Okay, this is an awful team. Now, just to make matters worse, and this is all about cost cutting, right? This is all about, you know, we had to trade away our 4 all-stars in the last 2 seasons. One of our starting pitchers, fortunately, he's not doing much for my Rockies, but that's another story. And I just wanted to get this bit in here because, you know, players get a real bad rap in professional sports. You know, they do bad things, they say bad things. But when was the last time you heard a good story about an owner or a team president, right? Okay, here's the quote from the team president who was asked on the radio, you know, what should fans do? Should they stay loyal to this team after you've been losing like this?
Well, I don't know. Chicago has with the Bears.
Well, you got to say the Cubs.
I was going to say the Cubs, but the
yeah,
Bears.
Yeah, for 80, 90, 100 years or whatever, yeah. People stick with the Cubs. Well, where are you going to go, said team president Phil Castellini. I mean, sell the team to who? That's the other thing. If you want to look at what you would have this team do to have it be more profitable, make more money, compete more in the current economy system that this game exists in, it would be to pick up and move it somewhere else. Ooh. Okay, now, let's talk about the Cincinnati Reds.
That or cash in with Aflac?
Don't get me started on Aflac. On Aflac. No. In any case, the Cincinnati Reds were the first professional baseball team ever. Okay, that means they're the first professional sports team in America ever. Mm-hmm. These guys started in 1869. They were the first classic team. They started winning 88 games in a row. Okay, the Cincinnati Reds are the reason the National League exists.
Right.
Okay, and now, because this guy can't make a few bucks, he wants to move the team to where? Las Vegas? I mean, this is the kind of thing that really gets me going when people start teeing off on the fans and how on the players and how greedy they are, is owners like this. And, you know, I think that in baseball especially, where very few of these guys really care about the sport, that this is a common attitude. Mm. The other thing I should say, too, about the Reds is much is being made about how bad these guys are. But I was looking at the standings today, and the truth is that the Detroit Tigers are only about two games better. And the Washington Nationals are only about a game better. So there's a lot of crummy teams. And this goes back to what I was talking about a few weeks on this show, where what's happening is there's no more market for these middle-range players that make a middle-range salary. The Reds are down to a bunch of guys who are playing double A ball at the beginning of the year, you know, because they don't want to pay the high salaries because the fans aren't coming in, because they don't want to pay the high salaries because the fans aren't coming in. You see, it's a feedback loop, and it's going to end up killing, you know, these historical teams. You know, so I really don't want to be a bummer about that, but go Reds. They've won three games in a row.
Well, hey,
as of this taping,
that's a win.
So they're turning it around.
That's a winning streak in my book. Yeah. And what's going on with basketball?
What's going on with basketball? Hey, what's not going on with basketball? Basketball is awesome. Golden State Warriors have advanced to the finals. And probably much more importantly, the Miami Heat have knocked off the last remaining artificially constructed super team, which I think we're all sick of seeing. Would you agree? Are we sick of seeing the super teams now? Have we proven that they don't work?
Brown.
You can't have... You know, four all-stars and a bunch of nobodies. It doesn't work anymore. There's too many good players.
Spread the wealth.
Yeah. Well, the wealth is being spread. That's the thing. You can't artificially induce that anymore. We're looking at these teams that are left. Even the teams that made the playoffs, they've all got one or two stars. And it's not LeBron James, and it's not Kevin Durant, and it's not James Harden, and the guys that we think are... the, you know, all-time greats or whatever. It's the new guys. It's the young guys. And they're all over the league. And that's what makes this so interesting. And these teams that are remaining, teams like the Celtics, teams like the Warriors, the Heat, these are teams that grew organically through draft picks, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have some free agents, but they didn't go out and grab the marquee guy, trade six 22-year-olds for this guy like the Lakers did for Anthony Davis.
Right.
You know, it's like... You know, I love these teams that are coming up. Really liking the Golden State Warriors, especially since I have a bet on them. So really liking how they have progressed. They're in the Final Four now. And Sunday night, as we record this, we'll have those final games. So we'll know by Monday, by the time this podcast comes out.
Western Conference Finals, they start. They got to play the...
On Sunday?
Yeah, they got to play the Suns.
Yeah, the Suns and the Mavs are still go Sunday. Yeah, they're going on Sunday, Game 7. Luka Doncic has become one of the great stories. The Mavericks, what a team. Yeah, he is, but what's wild about Luka Doncic is he's not that great off the ball, and his defense got torn apart by the Suns in the first couple of games. How is he this good? He's still one of the top five players in the league, and he barely plays defense.
He's 6'8
point guard.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's magic. He's Slovenian magic. Yes. He's Slovenian magic. That's the thing that I was thinking about this, is Slovenia is one of the great basketball nations. There's only 2 million people in this country, but they put out a lot of players into the NBA relatively. And the weird thing about Slovenian basketball is the best player on the national team is the point guard.
Yeah,
and it's not like that with the other teams. The other teams are like, their best players are two or their three, or like Serbia, their best player is their center, their big guy, because he can beat the hell out of the other players. You know, like that. But Slovenia is a strange case. All their best players are point guards, so well, that's why.
They teach them no matter what size you are.
Right.
The fundamentals.
Right, well, that was the thing. That's been the influence of European ball on the NBA. Mm-hmm. The reason why we have positionless players in the NBA now is because that's the way they've been doing mm-hmm. it in Europe since the 90s. And the reason why they do, like, weight training in Europe now is because that's what they've been doing in the NBA since the 90s.
Yeah.
So that's why the game...
And they don't have the natural athletes.
Right,
So they have to do technical stuff.
That's the evolution. Yeah, right. They used to do 2-a-days in Europe. Mm-hmm. Right? We do have 2 full practices a day, and the American guys be like, this is bullshit.
Practice!
But they'd have to... Right, practice twice! Yeah, it's supposed to be a day off, right? And so this is the neat thing about basketball right now. It's just this blend. It's really become the international game now. Even the NBA, which is very American, also very international.
Cool.
Very interesting stuff.
Cool. Sounds like a lot of good things.
Watch some playoffs, yeah.
Playoffs are going to be good.
Hockey playoffs?
Hockey playoffs, too, yeah.
Genius. 3 game 7, Saturday night.
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one there.
That's going to be a tough one for the bettors.
Yeah. all right, Cole. Thank you all so much. And that is what we got for Spolt this week.
Yay, Spolt!
All right. Well, you know, as we always do here on the show, we always try to check on what's going on as far as national days are concerned. And I couldn't believe it myself. And I'm going, wow, we got to do something for this, though. But it is National Chicken Dance Day.
What?
So we figure, what better way? Hey, I almost made you do the chicken dance. So,
no way.
So
on Facebook Live.
Be lucky that you're not to do it, though. So, but Nia's got some fun facts, though, about the chicken dance.
I do. Swiss accordion player Werner Thomas created the song and corresponding dance in the 1950s. More than 140 versions of the song has been recorded, selling a whopping 40 million copies worldwide.
How many?
40 million.
Jeez.
Right? Wow. Yeah. The name of the original Swiss song was...
Der
in
chicken. Yeah.
Das chicken dance.
Der in tin tans or the duck dance.
Oh, so he knew had the right animal.
What the hell?
He didn't have that. We don't have the right animal. He made the song.
Okay, but there's more to that. There's
okay.
a reason.
Okay, all right.
Okay. So, the dance first came to the United States in 1981 during Oktoberfest celebrations in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Wow.
A German band wanted to demonstrate the dance and costume for a local TV station, but a duck costume could not be located, so a chicken costume was used, hence chicken dance instead of duck dance.
U.S.
Wow.
USA.
USA.
USA. Exactly. Could have been worse, man. It could have been a platypus. So, you know.
I feel like that would have made it better.
A platypus dance?
Yes.
That's kind of weird.
So
that's
so cool.
Yeah, but then you got to make that noise or whatever they make. Like,
what do they make?
It's like a...
Yeah.
The cat.
It's a trilling noise.
Hey, platypus dance, the new chicken dance, everyone. It's coming.
Yeah, keep your fingers crossed.
What's the actor's name? The Doofenshmirtz actor?
Oh, Dan Povenmire?
Yeah, yeah. He'll bring it to us one day.
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll have Dan do the... I'll call Dan.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll call Dan. I'll call Dan and find out. Hey, dude, you need to make a dance for Perry. You know, there was the duck dance. It came here, became the chicken dance. Now
we need to make our own.
Yeah,
version
you and Swampy got to come up with your own, you know, platypus
exactly,
dance.
Exactly. Exactly.
Makes sense.
And
I like
then,
it.
Finally, yeah. In 2004, Motley Crue singer Vince Neil served as grand marshal of the world's largest chicken dance in Cincinnati.
Get out of here! Really?
Yeah.
Vince Neil, Motley Crue, wow.
VH1 called the appearance the single least metal moment in history.
The single what?
The single least metal moment in history.
Yes. Right next to Jethro Tull winning the Grammy for Best Heavy Metal Band. Yeah,
there
exactly.
You go.
Perry does have a dance, by the way.
He does?
Yeah, the Platypus Walk.
Oh, can we find that? Can we find that, please?
What was that?
The Platypus
just,
Walk.
Did you just search
the
that?
The Platypus Walk?
It's knowledge. Yeah. I'm a grandpa now. I have this knowledge.
That's right. That's right.
I'm sure Dan and Swampy would be very proud of us right now. The Platypus Walk.
What's
oh, my God.
What's a platypus? You know, it's that thing they made that dance about.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I remember this.
Well, the Platypus Walk.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Platypus Talk. Walk the platypus and talk the platypus talk.
Walk the platypus
wow.
Platypus talk.
Zendaya!
Well, if you went for it, dog, well, that's see, nothing is new under the sun. It's a bit by day, kind of any man. And you just might be a platypus
fanatic. Walk the platypus walk. Talk to platypus talk. Talk to platypus talk. Talk to platypus talk. Walk the platypus along.
Wow.
Hey,
that is freaking, I mean, I didn't even know that. I had no idea.
It's really, really fast-paced.
Yeah. I think it's a lot better than the chicken dance, though. There's a lot more moves.
Yeah.
There's a lot more moves than that.
I was just going to say, they talked about this thing with Vince Neil doing the world's largest chicken dance. How could that not have been an Oktoberfest? You can't have the chicken dance without the beer. I mean, like, how did that happen?
It did, apparently. Yeah. And you
that's,
got Vince Neil
totally
to thank for it.
Out of context, you know?
Well,
I couldn't do this sober, I promise you that.
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely not. Plus, you'd also have to wear like the lederhosen and stuff like that. Come on, man, you gotta be plastic.
I got the hat, though.
Nice. Nice.
It works. It works. All right, well, we're going to do something a little bit fun today. And we're going to see if this works also for us out on Facebook Live. So, it's also National Archery Day.
Yeah.
So we figure, what better way and what, you know, to celebrate Archery Day than to shoot, you know, some stuff, right?
You got to shoot some bows?
We're gonna shoot a bow. We're going to shoot, and maybe some loops. You never know. So we've got Brown Waters here with us. So it's going to be myself, Brown, and Neo. We're going to go out into the hallway here. And I set up some targets for us. And we have a Nerf bow and arrow thing that we're going to shoot. Okay. Dude, you think we're going to really shoot a real arrow in the house? Come on, Grandpa.
Yeah, where's your wisdom
I'm
now?
I'm old school. You know, we didn't have Nerf when I was young.
You're 32, 34. What the hell? I had Nerf.
We used to play on lawn darts. Lawn darts.
And I'm older than you. And I had Nerf.
Back in my day.
Shit,
you're really trying to walk into the stereotype.
Wow.
We appreciate the effort, but
wow,
man.
Brown. Okay,
I'm doing the opposite. I'm dyeing my hair gray.
Yeah, you're gonna have to.
Nice. Yeah,
gives the meaning like touch it. Of gray a new different meaning. So okay, so we're gonna try and set up. Do we have any music by chance? Just
Arrow
for
music?
Us to. Yeah, from Arrow.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, whatever. Superhero music, anything.
Hunger Games.
Because we got set up out.
Hunger Games music.
Yeah.
What?
Hunger Games music.
Oh, there you go. Hunger Games.
Yeah.
What? Okay.
Archery music.
No,
let's
no,
see
no,
what
no,
pops
no.
up.
Right.
What?
No.
Archery music, yeah, right.
Archery. What does it sound like?
Into a beat.
That's a good beat.
Oh, yeah. Here you go. Robin Hood. Okay. All right. So we're going to get off headphones. We need to plug in enter Christopher's mic first, though. So we want to make sure that that's down. So we don't want it up yet. We need to make sure it's down. We need to plug in the mic first. So let's go ahead and do that. I'm going to go off headphones here. And we're going to try this. Let's see how well we do, how well we don't do.
Everybody say hello.
We are now also on Facebook Live. If you are listening live, you can tune in on Facebook and watch us live right now. This is apparently Robin Hood, you know. It's very epic.
Men in tights.
Nia, I'm going to hand this to you so that Sean can...
Love that line.
Sean can address the world.
Ooh, oh! Oh, that's
Can we frame?
Can you hear us with the mic?
Let me turn it up. We're good to go live on it. All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. So can you hear us?
Ah, I can. Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. So I've got the
glass.
So we got the Nerf. Was it strap bow? Basically, it's got about 15, I think, Nerf darts in it and everything. So that's what we got here. We're gonna let ladies go first. So we're gonna let Nia go.
And you were like, yeah, let me go.
My turn.
Okay, so let's see. Wait, so all you gotta do is you're gonna
where's
hold
the phone?
Here,
who has the phone?
And then you're gonna hold this and then pull it back in.
Oh, okay, cool.
Just try and aim.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. And
thank you, intern Christopher.
Okay, so you're gonna try and hit one of the cups.
Okay.
All right, so let's see if she can get the cup, one of the cups down there at all. All right. And here goes the first one.
Where did it go?
It didn't go anywhere yet. So you gotta let it go like an actual
hello,
bow.
Jennifer.
There you go, and nothing there, all right.
And a big nothing miss. There.
And, oh, she hit it, but it didn't fall off.
Oh, we got not
tap.
Enough.
It didn't fall off, though.
Who's the other eye?
All right, here we go. Oh, she hit the back wall.
Very nice.
That's about it.
Okay, so still a swing and a miss.
Is that a point?
Yeah, okay, no. And she almost hit intern Christopher on that one. Wow, okay.
We didn't know this was going to be dangerous. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And she hit the bottom again. Okay, nothing there. All right, come on. Come on, you got to hit
that's
one
dangerous
at least.
And interesting.
Nope.
Sort of. Okay, wait, so I need to go a little lower.
Make it a little something is what we're doing. Okay, here goes another shot. Nope, still didn't make it.
You're supposed to hit the.
Yeah, use the other hand because Lord knows that might help.
You know what?
She wasn't offended.
All right. There we go. She's going to shoot again. And nope.
Southpaw.
Hits the door.
Strange thing.
And here goes. No, nope.
Oh,
okay, she's getting like the top doors and the bottom doors, but
know,
nothing, but can't get anything
go
in between.
Okay.
It's a good thing these guys don't need this for survival. They were in a real Katniss Everdeen situation, it would be over.
It would be awful, wouldn't it? They would definitely not be doing great right now. I mean, if you were watching, if you're not watching Facebook Live right now, you are.
Her charm, all right. So here we go. So we're
you
trying again.
Missing out on some
and
stunning display of something.
Of
there.
Lack of coordination. Lack of hand-eye coordination.
I thought I had no depth perception. I'm not alone, obviously.
And,
strange things that happen in a stranger.
Okay, so we're gonna put some.
I won't tell you why I might be
doing
this thing. If you need cap,
all right. Get some more here. Okay, so now I'm reloading the bow back up with the Nerf darts here. And Nia got how many? Zero. Yeah,
okay,
round numbers. She tapped one.
A resounding
okay, she tapped
zero.
One, but that's about it.
That's about it.
Wow.
Okay, I need a couple more darts. All right, Brown's going down.
Right now, the Hunger Games song is on.
It didn't really help you.
It didn't help you.
I didn't hear it.
Were you not... You didn't channel your inner Katniss.
Excuse comes out.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was playing.
You should have just known it in your head.
I was hyper-focused. No, not really.
I was hyper-focused. Speaking to the mic, lady.
Just hit the wall. Just hit the wall.
You know what? I'm better at actual archery?
Hit something. You're better at actual archery. I don't know, because you almost hit into Christopher. So, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know if we want to give you a real arrow, is what we're saying.
No kidding.
Okay, but don't put people near the target when you have a real arrow.
This is true.
All right, okay.
Yeah,
so, okay,
see?
So,
there we go.
Okay, so Brown's going to go next.
All right. All right. Give him something to live up to.
There you go. Okay. Come on, Brown. You can do this, brother.
This isn't the archery song from Katniss.
There we go.
Oh, okay.
Okay, hits the door. It's okay. He's getting his aim on. Okay, and nothing
right,
there.
Right, here we go. Here we go.
Okay, here we go. Nothing.
Come on, Gramps! Come on, Gramps!
Yeah.
Show these whippersnappers.
How it's done. Right now, it's pretty much just our commentary over some Celtic music.
Fantastic.
Just a pew pew every now and again.
It's just like listening to the DVD track, not watching the movie. You're just watching the director's comment.
This is
what's happening.
All right.
They're all just, okay. Yeah.
So far.
That was close.
Brown and Mia, or Nia, are tied right now.
Woo!
How much? What's
the
score?
They're tied.
0-0?
0-0. They're tied.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're tied with 0-0.
God help us if we have to go to a shootout. We'll be here all day.
Yeah, at least she nicked one. Exactly. So we're good with that.
I nicked one, guys.
Caitlin, just the tip.
Okay, just the tip. All right. Okay. So let's go ahead and get some of these.
This would be great if these guys were duelists, like in the 18th century. They'd be out there. They'd just be reloading 400 times, just taking a shot. Why don't you move a little closer?
Yeah. Now, I don't know. Gun, I feel like Sean might do all right. He's got some experience there.
With
the gun?
Yeah.
No. maybe a rifle?
Give me a slingshot.
I'm glad how honest you are.
Slingshot?
All right. Alrighty. So here we go.
Who was that with Goliath?
Right, here we go. Here's all right. The truth.
David.
Thank you. Yeah, now
okay,
we have to call you David.
Let's see what I do now.
All right, now Sean has loaded up his bow.
He's got the home field advantage here, so he's got no excuses.
Ooh, okay.
He does. And he doesn't care if he breaks anything. He already told me
that
earlier.
Oh, yeah! Got one.
Well, he got one. Okay. I'm commentating, but I can't really see.
Got two. Look at that.
I'm taking their word for it.
Wow, he's sweeping it. Yeah, he's sweeping it away from what it sounds like.
Like that means anything.
And you're on
the
nerve.
What's going on here? Look at that. Three. Okay. I've got three. Okay, that was a good. That was a good.
In all fairness, folks, his game, his equipment.
It is his bow he's using.
His home field. Oh.
What's
the word?
Okay, here we go, another one. Oh, come on. Ooh.
Are you talking
almost
about
hit Batman in the head?
Batman. That's extra points.
Nia.
Yes.
Are you talking about catching fire or the archer?
Oh, that one came pretty damn close. I almost hit that four cups. Ricochet. I got ricochet. All right, last one. Here we go. Come on.
Let's see what catching fire plays.
Oh,
it's the last hole.
So how many did I get?
Three.
I got three. All right. Yay. Not too bad.
Good.
Not too bad.
And a ricochet.
So, and a ricochet.
So that was pretty good. We'll get the 3.5.
Oh, this is
thanks,
badass.
Guys. Appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoyed us being full of ourselves here with your bow and arrow. So we're going to go back into the room.
All right. Woo!
Give me a Glock.
Give me a wow.
That's how they do the South Central style.
Woo! Oh shit! Someone else is coming. Hi. What? Someone? You?
Yeah.
All righty.
I demand a recount.
Would you rather like look at the every other sport has replay? We should have replay.
Replay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here.
Yeah. Throw your challenge flag on there.
All right, and we're posting now our what we just did. So
That was our disservice.
There you
National
go. So
Archery
National
Day.
National Archery Day, and so let's see, let's recount this. Nia got nicked one.
Yes.
Did fall though, but she nicked it.
I did.
And then Brown, you had let's figure round numbers here. Zero. But you hit the top. there.
Very
at least,
hard, by the way. It was like,
about 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
And the bottom about 3 or 4 times, too. So it balanced it out.
Yeah.
Just couldn't get anything in the middle.
If I was aiming for a horse, I would have hit his butt while aiming for the head.
Yeah. If the horse was standing sideways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You've gotten something there. So, and how many did I get?
You know, we're not going to.
So three. To aim for the butt, I guess.
Yeah,
I
got
the moral
three.
Of the story.
With a ricochet, so.
With a nice ricochet.
With a very good ricochet. That was actually a really good ricochet. Because they moved the cup forward a little bit closer.
I like I got it from the back, like, gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I missed, psych.
Put a cap in the ass, you know, literally, you know, from.
And it's
from
good. Good reference.
Exactly.
Good reference.
All right, so there we go. So we had some fun with National Archery Day. Mark and Brian style, so I love it. I love it. Are we ready to play the game?
Are we skipping what's new?
Oh, that's right. We do have what's news, huh? That's right. Let's
well,
go ahead
news?
And do that.
What's news? What's a cat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's news? What's a cat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Neil, why don't you go ahead and go first?
Okay, so we have Canadian couple's dog gives birth to rare puppy.
Oh. What's so rare about it?
A Nova Scotia couple whose 3-year-old bulldog gave birth to a litter of 8 puppies said they immediately noticed something unusual about one of the newborns. Trevor and Audrea Mosher of Middle Sackville said they thought their dog Freya was finished after delivering her first 7 puppies, but while they were cleaning the canine mother, she started to go into labor again. Freya delivered an 8th puppy, this time encased in a black sack,
ooh,
contrasting with the translucent sacks of its older
weird
siblings. The couple said they initially feared the puppy was stillborn, but they rushed to clean the newborn canine when she started to move. We started to dry her off and noticed she was green and immediately again thought there was something wrong, so we Googled it. The rare discoloration, which has been documented before, is believed to be caused by light-colored puppies coming into contact with the green pigments from the bile while in the womb. Freya Mosher said, yeah,
crazy.
Wow. Freya Mosher said in a Facebook post that the names being considered for the puppy include Holkette, Fiona, Wasabi, Lucky Irish, and Pistachio.
I like, ooh, Pistachio. I like Wasabi, though, for the name.
I like Wasabi, yeah.
That's a good name
cool
for them.
Yeah.
And the couple said the puppy's green coloring has started to fade in the day since birth, and experts say it will continue to fade in the coming weeks until it is gone completely. Still cool to, like, have. You have a green puppy for a couple of weeks. Like,
that sounds
too
bad at all.
Yeah, that's sick.
Is it
going to
grow big like Clifford?
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. That would be cool.
And then what made him red if the bile made him green?
So maybe as he grows, he actually shrinks, though.
Ooh.
You know, so the dog shrinks instead of growing bigger, it shrinks instead. So now you got a little pee.
Pocket pooch.
Yeah, pocket pooch.
Pocket puppy.
Pocket puppies. There you go. Cool. What do you got over there, bro?
Well, I was hearing about this Ohio man upset over Canada's mask mandates.
Uh-huh.
Ohio?
Yeah. Ottawa, Ohio. A man who wanted to join the protest in Canada's capital over mask mandates called in a bomb threat so police would waste their time chasing it. Authorities said, but he called the wrong Ottawa, a village in Ohio. The man, a 20-year-old from Akron, Ohio.
Oh, well, there you go, 20-year-old.
Yeah. Called the Putnam County Sheriff's Office twice Monday, said Sheriff Captain Brad Brubaker. The first time he had made a bomb threat, and then the second time he called and said he had been shot, Brubaker said. That's when the man found out he was talking with someone in Ohio. He wasn't paying attention and just called the first number he found. He said he was mad about mask mandates. He was a Karen. The sheriff's office said it would ask the county prosecutor to consider charges against the man.
Wow. He Karen, so that would be like a Kevin, maybe?
Yeah.
I think they have a word. I think it's like Brad or something like that.
Brad.
Wow. It's a Brad?
He's
really?
A Bradley. Yeah,
Dennis.
Yeah, something like that.
Dennis. You know what?
No, wait, man. That's Rodman.
I actually heard that. So Karen and Ken, those are the. I heard that those are the two.
Ken's Ken, Ken is Barbie's husband. He can't be.
That's true. He is. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's cool.
He dresses really good.
Yeah. He got
yeah,
nothing
suspiciously
down.
Well.
He got nothing down there, but he's a nice guy, you know. All right, this one kind of ties off with a story that we read a couple of weeks ago. Customers accused Las Vegas restaurant of selling special Thai food.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So more Ooh, than yeah, more than like yeah, more than 30 people who ate at a Thai restaurant in Las Vegas have reported getting sick. The Southern Nevada Health District said recently, health officials are investigating what led up to what they call unusual illnesses. Patrons for the Secret of Siam restaurant, located on Continental Center Boulevard, reported increasing heart rates, blurred vision, disorientation, loss of consciousness, and that's just from playing poker. And also numbness or tingling within hours of being at the restaurant.
They found out the secret.
No, they're trying to keep them from disclosing it.
Do we know the secret?
Well, a phone number for the restaurant, which has been closed since earlier this month, rang unanswered Friday. The health district is asking anyone who ate there in January or February to take a survey on its website. Las Vegas police have also filed some reports of the illness itself. The restaurant opened in 2019, consistently passed inspection reports. Some customers have told local news outlets they suspect their food was tainted with THC.
That's a good
The compound in cannabis that produces the high sensation.
I was waiting for that.
After seeking medical attention and testing positive for it.
So, I'm still hungry.
Well, that's just it, though.
They lose consciousness.
They fell asleep.
Yeah, right. They're on the couch. I lost consciousness. I don't get it.
Imagine being at the Thai
It's not okay. It's not okay.
No. You shouldn't dose
to make
people,
somebody high when they don't know. But
yeah.
They lost consciousness. They fell asleep.
That's great. But can you imagine, though, being at an Asian restaurant?
They took a nap.
Can you imagine being at an Asian restaurant, though, and going, oh my God, I can't believe I ate all that chum. Hey, look, they brought egg rolls.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Ooh, egg rolls. Yeah. Or you go and you leave and you get burgers.
give me my fortune cookie.
And you eat the whole thing without taking out the fortune.
Exactly. All right, and there you go. That is what's news.
You're jumping the gun.
Trying to find
on
the
it.
Button.
where is the button? Whoa.
So loud.
Everybody's been really excited this morning.
All right. Should we play the game now?
Yes.
Let's play the game. Whoops, sorry.
And now, the game show that keeps morons climbing crates for our enjoyment. Quiz me. Quiz you.
You're getting pretty good at that. Aren't you?
You know, I have to really like come up with those. It's really like a dedication during the show. And the crate challenge, I mean, you've seen this, right? Where they stack crates on one another. Yeah. It's like a one and then a two and then three and then four. And then they try to like run up one side and down the other and they all fall. They break things. It's really outrageous. I don't understand how we keep convincing people to do this.
Try it. Let's see what happens. That's how.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, go for it.
You
go
can
for
do it.
You can do it. You can do it. Yeah, exactly. All right, intern Christopher, are you ready to give us the question, sir?
Yes, I am.
Oh, he's not. He's not.
No, he's not.
No,
he
I'm not. Yes, I am. Make up your mind. I will say, those were some nice shots earlier.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And I didn't practice at all either. I was just trying to get him.
Oh, you just aimed and
just
aimed.
Woo! Yeah.
So. All right, well, we're aiming to get a win on question number one.
All right, here we go.
An elephant is called... Oh, shoot, this is going to be fun to read. An elephant is called a placoderm, but what does placoderm mean?
Placoderm, okay. So an elephant is called placoderm. Oh. Sean? Big funny nose.
No. Oh.
Brown.
Wow.
Brown?
That was really abrasive.
Big dry skin.
No, it does have something to do with skin, though. It does have something to do with skin, though.
Placoderm.
Nia, Oz, Casey.
I don't know. I feel like it. I don't know. Nope. Don't know.
No. Nothing. Thick skinned.
Oh, thick skinned.
Wow. Okay.
Do I get a half a point?
For skin.
For skin.
I don't know.
Thick skinned. I just don't.
Dry skin is thick.
Wow. I didn't realize, though, but I've been a pachyderm all my life in the music career.
There you go.
I've got thick skin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, question number two.
I'm a pachyderm.
In more ways than one.
Exactly.
All right. What kind of creatures are Gower, Gaon, Batang, and Kupre.
What?
Say that again.
From what?
It is very weird. Like I was looking up how to pronounce these earlier, and they are very weird. But the creatures again, and I could be butchering any of these.
At any given moment.
Gower, Gale,
Brown. Brown. They're birds.
No. Batang and Kupre.
All right, well, Oz. I'm going to go with bats.
No.
Bats have cute names like fruit.
And man.
Vampire.
And scary names like vampire. Yeah, exactly.
Bruce Wayne.
Gosh. Kupre, Oubre, Oubre. What kind of animals these are?
Creatures.
What kind of creatures?
You would, I think you'd find these on a farm.
Casey. Oh.
Casey.
Oh, we're on a
Sean.
Farm now.
Sean?
Pigs.
No.
Damn.
I'm going to say chickens.
No.
Okay, rodents?
No.
Yeah. Cows.
Cattle. So.
Cattle?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're types of wild cattle. It's
yay!
What do we eat those?
I don't know. Look it up later.
I think that's
what Google's for anyway.
Send me the spelling because I know you didn't say it right.
I think humans will eat just about anything.
All right, question number three.
Exactly.
What actor turned politician's first wife was actress Jane Wyman?
Oz.
Sean.
Ronnie Reagan.
That is correct.
Good job, Oz. Yeah.
He was a wrestler.
All right, before the end of that one, it is 11:29.
Okay, we'll keep going.
Okay.
All right, question number four. All right. Who wrote The Star Spangled Banner?
Oz.
Oh.
Francis Scott Key.
That is correct.
Whoa.
Yeah, coming in with that history.
All right, question number five.
I'm in the zone.
In the zone, he's got to keep going. In the zone, auto zone. All right. What gangster?
It's Oz zone.
Twilight zone.
That's a good one. What gangster was the first American to make
Casey.
Sean.
Casey, then Sean.
Al Patron.
I thought I had bad pronunciation.
Al Patron.
Yes, Al Patron.
He was that Mexican gangster.
We're going to give it to me anyway because we know what we're saying.
Bootlegging
Al
tequila.
Al Capone, thank you.
All right, question number six.
That's the drunk version.
I like that one better.
There's a skit there. Al Patron. I like that.
Maybe you can think of it next week.
Don't even drink, Casey.
I know.
All right, in 1998, what was voted the best Monopoly piece?
Car.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You said your name first.
No, go.
Rules are rules.
No, go.
Oh, Brown.
Brown?
The thumbnail.
No.
Why did you take your answer for?
I cheated.
There is no thumbnail. We know that.
I was going to say the boot.
No, not the boot.
Yeah. The dog.
No.
Oz. Car, right?
Yes, it was the car.
I cheated. I couldn't do that.
Also, Miss Mia, I don't need to hear from you about Miss Oprah and Opera.
Yes, we remember.
All right, question number seven.
I didn't say anything at this moment. Where did that come from?
Because we were laughing at my Patron drink.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Fair
whose
enough.
Autobiography was titled Laughter in the Rain?
Sean. Neil Sedaka.
That is correct.
Wow.
Nice. Laughter in the Rain, one of his songs.
Okay. All right. Question number eight. Which member of the Monkees came from
England? Why is everybody looking
England?
At me all of a sudden? What is it?
No repeats. Oz. No repeats.
I know this one.
I didn't hear
Davy Jones, right?
That is correct. Came from England.
So we distracted him enough.
Aha. That is how you succeed. All right. Question number nine.
Look, Sean. Hey, something shiny.
Thank you, everybody. The strategy now?
Alright, as part of the Ring of Fire, California sees numerous earthquakes due to several faults, including the most famous one, which is
Sean.
Called
Sean. Yeah. San Andreas Fault.
That is correct.
I thought it was going to say Finding Nemo.
I knew that one.
The Ring of Fire. The Ring of Fire.
Alright, question number 10. Last question.
Almost go. Said Sean. She's Nia.
Alright, what is Jim Carrey's profession in Liar Liar?
Oh, Casey.
Sean.
Dang.
Casey.
Lawyer?
That is correct.
Yeah, you got that.
There you go.
And that's the game.
That's the game.
That's the game.
Actually, I was about to say the answer. That's why I was starting with S.
I had it, but she's...
I hear what you're saying. Okay. I just hear...
Yeah, because I was like, fuck, I have to say my name first.
Yeah. All righty, guys. Well, thank you so much for Brown Waters coming in and co-hosting with the show with me today. Appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, I loved it. It was a good time.
Awesome, brother. Rain.
Hey.
Yeah. All right, guys. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1. Brown, if people want to find you, where can they find you?
Brown Waters on Instagram, everywhere. Just Brown Waters. Look me up. Brown Waters Comedy.
You'll even see him in the San Gabriel River. Brown Waters
Brown
is right
Waters
there.
Brown Waters is life water.
Exactly.
He'll also be at the old folks home.
I'm out of jail.
You out of jail?
I'm out of jail, yeah.
Welcome back.
For who knows how long. It's on Facebook or Instagram, Casey N. Summers.
Oz?
Don't look for me. Listen to the original audio sports history drama podcast, Orville Mulligan. You can find it at orvillemulligan.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nia.
My Instagram is Nia Caitlin Ketstever, or my studio's Instagram is Ketstever Studios.
And if you want to find me on any of the social media, it's simply Sean R. Unplugged. And also, guys, don't forget to listen to us. You can listen to all our past shows on Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings, and also on Lime City Radio at noon Wednesday through Fridays. And if you enjoy the show, don't forget to tell your friends about us, because we can't grow without you guys. So please help us spread the word about the show. Tell your friends, tell your relatives. Heck, we dare you to do it. Until then, we'll catch you guys next week, and be good to each other, people.
Woo.
Goodbye, world.
See
have fun.
Ya.
Could have said you were wrong, but no, you couldn't do that. No, no, you had to prove you were strong. Oh, oh, if you hadn't been so blind then.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.